Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Going to the penalty box?
Yeah. I mean, what, are you trying to ruin it for all of us?
Can't I get Florida or Ohio? Come on.
Yeah, no,
I'm sorry. I'll apologize.
Okay.
Someone in Twitch sent him the new Harry Tynowitz.
You're the new Harry?
Yes. Yes. It's all brought to you by DraftKings in the fun little Twitch channel we have with Waddle inside the First Midwest Bank studio. All the local shows can be watched. Black and Abdallah after us. Cap and Hoodie, and of course, Carmen and Yurko. So each and every day, remember to download the app. That's the easiest and simplest way to get live programming and on-demand podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Let's try this one more time.
Okay.
You want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
By the way, the name of the dinosaur was the Velociraptor.
Okay.
Not the Tyrannosaurus ass.
Did you just try to make a pun, too?
Yeah, I did.
Try.
I couldn't tell if you mispronounced Velociraptor or you were trying to make a joke.
You tried to sneak it in there.
Yeah, I did. The Velociraptor. Come on!
I don't know what to do now. This is just dirty.
I could have made, like, a Toronto Raptor
Everybody
joke.
Everybody knows it's the Brontosaurus.
Siakam.
Couple tangle over testicle joke.
What?
Couple tangle over testicle joke.
Hey, let's tango.
A domestic dispute started after an impolite mark about a lone testicle record show. Curtis McCoy and his partner of 10 years got into an argument late Sunday evening when that escalated quickly because they had been drinking alcohol, according to sources. The couple engaged in an entanglement.
What does that mean?
About an entanglement.
An argument?
An argument, an entanglement. After the victim brought up how the man only had one testicle, which caused the man to get very upset.
Why would that be? I mean, if it's
the man grabbed his partner's finger and twisted it, causing pain.
At least it was a finger. He only had one left. He's got nine other of those. Delray Beach, Florida.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't do that in Ohio. You don't make fun of a man's single testicle.
Curtis McCoy.
Curtis? Oh, that's Tampa.
Interesting. Where, did you
He's
say
the
where?
He's the president of the Tom Brady family.
Where were they drinking?
Where were they drinking? I didn't say. I just said they were drinking.
It sounds like a garage deal. Two
really?
Dudes drinking in a garage get mad because one dude only has one. Yeah, this is Ohio.
And so, wait a second. So, they're fighting because the guy? Give me a little more of the detail.
The man was upset with his partner after his partner remarked that he only had one testicle.
Why would the partner then just like, oh, yeah? Well, you only have one ball.
Yeah.
Just because.
Garage party.
Why is that like a comeback?
Because clearly the report states. The report states it escalated since they had been drinking alcohol, Tom. Maybe someone called the other one Tyrannosaurus ass.
A Velociraptor?
A Brontosaurus.
That's the best one. A Brontosaurus.
Myrtle Beach, Florida,
you know,
by the way.
Yeah.
Myrtle Beach, Florida?
Myrtle Beach, Florida.
There's a Myrtle Beach, Florida. That's weird. We had two Myrtle Beach stories. One in South Carolina.
We won't send you out of the. We will actually applaud you for your joke.
Thank you.
Yes, that was actually that one.
See you guys at six.
Yeah.
312-332-3776 I want to bring up Zach LaVine because I don't understand what we're doing with Zach. I don't get something about the Bulls that's been really a hot topic amongst Bulls fans. 332-3776 Let me clean these up, though, here. People wanted to talk to us from earlier in the show. Jacob's on 55. Hey, Jacob, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
We're good, thanks.
So I know it's a little bit different, but you know this whole Cameo thing? Like, it's like an app on your phone.
Yes,
right. Celebrities.
Sylvie's involved. You can actually, yes, you can have Sylvie say happy birthday to one of your family members if you would like.
Exactly. So my best friend, he was my best man at my wedding, is obsessed with Vanderpump Rules on Bravo.
Yeah.
And Tom and Tom, if you know who they are, I don't really. it was $200 for them to say happy birthday for him. And my wife convinced me to do it because she's also a huge fan of the show. And I'm telling you, he won't shut up about it. It's like the best thing that has ever been given to him in his life.
That's what I mean. Like, I'd be all in for that if it was more of a personalized Peyton Manning experience. But all I'm watching is some sort of a show on my computer that I have, quote, access to.
You need to feel that connection.
You don't need to pay. You got to pay extra for the personalized Peyton Manning experience.
Yeah. I want to know.
So it makes all the difference in the world if they read your question. This is from Mark in Riverwoods, Illinois.
Yes.
And
right.
then it's worth $125.
Mark wants to know, would you consider running the Chicago Bears if they offered you a large sum of money?
And that would be worth $125. But if they didn't take Mark in Riverwoods' question, it's not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be cool with it.
But
then
don't you feel like you know the answer to that question? Like,
I don't. Do you know the answer?
But he's going to give you the standard
stock answer.
Yeah, there are guys in place that I'm not going to comment on a job that's not available and all that. Like, he's going to give you I don't mean this in offense anyway. He's going to give you a very Lewis Riddick response. The job's not open, and until a job is open, I'm not going to comment on it.
You're just going to be sitting there hugging.
You know what I mean?
You're going to be sitting there hugging yourself because you heard your name, and Peyton took your question and gave you a stock answer. And
well,
I think
Mark,
that's silly.
Who's on your list of someone that you would want to meet, number one right now? You could meet anybody right now.
Chris Stapleton?
Chris Stapleton's number
now,
one.
Now, I don't know, like, if you gave me a longer time to think about it, I may come up with somebody else.
It's Jordan.
You've never met Jordan?
Never met
Abdallah?
Jordan. Never
Black,
met Jordan.
Have you met Michael?
No, I haven't.
I got a picture of Michael and me and my wife.
I don't know if I need to, though.
Would you not want to, but would it ruin it for you?
It would have to be the same situation as our guy who did the Last Dance, where, like, I'm not just walking up like a fan getting him to sign something. Like, I want
about a picture. You can get a picture with him.
I want to get a drink with Jordan.
Yeah, like, I would want to hear hours worth of stories from him.
Like, to play golf with him, a round of golf.
You want him uncensored.
Yeah, I'll just hand him my money before the round starts and be like, you're taking this anyway, so let's just play golf.
Yeah.
Yes. I always said that I'd rather play golf with, and I'm not a golf guy, golf with Jordan than one-on-one with Jordan or horse, because it's more conducive to telling stories.
Well, it would last longer, too. Like, it'd only take him so long to beat you 11-0.
Yeah.
You're on the course for at least, and I know Michael plays fast, but you're on the course for 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah. Jose and Hegwish, one of our buddies. Jose, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Hey, I originally was going to talk about the quarterback situation, but while I was waiting, it hit the airwave that Singletary was mentioned as defensive coordinator position for the Bears. Is that correct?
Yeah, Adam Johns is reporting he interviewed for the job.
So, you know, all respect to Mike, but his last job was in the XFL. This seems like a big PR move by Bears Inc. If Pace and Nagy a nickname, this team is called Bears Inc. What a joke! Are you serious? I mean, this man hasn't coached in a head coach position. You've seen what happened with the 49ers. You're going to give this man, let's see, I just got an email. Hold on. I got an email from an anonymous poster. Whoa! Let me read this to you guys. Oh, man. McCaskey, we need to fix this. The fans are pissed. Phillips, I know. Okay, here, let's do this. Let's get a familiar face from the past that will calm the fans down. They will start remembering the Super Bowl shuffle, and I'm sure things will be fixed for a while. I'll tell Pace. He should be cheap. Pace. Who? Phillips. Do it or you're fired. Pace. Face on the head emoji. Oh, my God. Come on, guys.
No, real quick, though. The whole act he did. He did a whole role play thing.
I'm not going down that same avenue again. I will not feel the shame that I felt.
You know what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to hire Singletary as their defensive coordinator. Nagy's going to get blown out with their next losing streak, and it's going to happen. It's happened the last couple of years. And guess who's going to be the interim coach of your Chicago Bears in 2021?
I'm not playing your game.
Yeah, I don't know what and Mike would do to calm the fans.
And at the team store, you know, pants will be half off.
I don't get it. I think one of his last coaching jobs was under Jeff Fisher in the NFL.
Now show yourself out, Abdallah.
You just got that now? That was great.
No, I was giving him the evil eye for a while.
I think his last coaching job was he was like a defensive advisor for Jeff Fisher. So I guess he does fit on 8-8 teams.
I'm not taking the bait. What? Move along. Move along.
Move along. All right.
Move along.
What are we arguing? And I want to bring this up next. So the Bulls are off for the Bulls to a pretty good start. They've lost some games. Maybe they should have won in the end. But ever since those first couple games of the season, they've been fun to watch, and they've been in every single game down the stretch. They currently have a 2-game win streak, and their best player is one of the most debated players in the NBA. And my question is, why? We'll have that debate next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, so the Bulls are off until Friday. We have touched on them. We haven't had a long-form conversation on the Bulls in a little bit.
They've been fun to watch.
Yes, they have. I mean, they went on that West Coast road trip, and I was disappointed that they lost to Sacramento and both L.A. teams, but they were in all three games. Those aren't easy road trips.
They're not a joke anymore.
Right, right. And look, Steps, I'm not saying that that's worth celebrating, but let's see what they're 6-8, you know? They're 6-8 isn't terrible, and they're still learning under Billy Donovan. I say, someone phrased it to me perfectly, that they're still getting that Boylan stench off of them. You know, when you have heavy BO, your clothes don't just automatically smell better the first time you wash it. If you've had BO for a long time, it's going to take a few washes.
Have you had bad BO? Like, I'm not saying like I smell great, but I think I shower consistently enough and with great detail that I never feel like I have this just horrible BO.
So, like, if you waited 5 days, wouldn't you say it would take you more than one shower to get rid of the BO stench?
Yeah, but I can't remember if I've ever gone 5 days without a shower.
Right. But when you've gone 2 years with Jim Boylan,
that's sort of like the
BO stench. Okay. And it's going to take more than one washing, is my point.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, like the shampoo say, rinse, lather, repeat. Or no, lather, rinse, repeat. Right? That's what it is.
Okay.
You got to soap up.
Yeah.
You got to rinse it. And then
do it again. Yeah.
Do it again. And so they're still learning. And Billy Donovan has said they're learning how to win. I think you touched on this a little bit in the pre-show fist fight. And I thought it was a great thought. So here we have Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine is averaging 27 points per game. His three-point shooting has gotten better. His assists have gone up. Now, his turnovers have gone up, too. He's not a perfect player.
No.
But he's been pretty good, and he's improved every year he's been here. He's also in the middle, right smack in the middle of this four-year deal that the Bulls signed him for, and he's making $19,500,000 this year.
Which is not a ton for a guy averaging 27 points.
It's not. In the grand, if he was a free agent today, he would get a lot more than that. And he signed for next year. So he's still only 25. Next year, he's signed under his 26th year age year in the NBA. So he's still signed for one more year. And I see Joe Cowley on Twitter scolding Bulls fans about him not being a one. I hear Bulls fans all the time. Zach's not a winner, Sylvie. This and that. And that was a bad shot. They want to label him. And my question to you guys is why? What's the hurry to label Zach LaVine? A, he's not up for a new contract right now, so you don't have to worry about paying him. B, it's not like there's a trade on the table where you would trade Zach LaVine. Can't we just watch and observe and see where this goes before we come to any conclusions about Zach? Maybe he's a guy that could recruit a guy in this next upcoming season that would want to play with a 27-point-per-game scorer. I'm just saying, what are you going to do? Until there's a star available that's a true star on the market, and I'm not – Giannis just signed, but I'm just throwing Giannis's name out there because it's an easy guy. We've always said every 6 months there's going to be another star who you'd want. Let's say a Giannis-type player wants out. Now you could start talking about, would you trade Zach for him? But, like, for now, why would you ever want to trade Zach for another, quote, possible lottery pick that could be what?
No, I'm with you're singing the same song to me. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's a superstar. But like you said, he'll be 20. He's 25. He'll be 26, I think, in March. He's made progress, I think, every year. He's at career average highs. Again, it's a small sample size. It's only, what, 14 or 15 games. But you're seeing the progress. And even what you saw a couple of days ago in a win, I believe, against the Dallas Mavericks, his shot was way off. He scored 10 points. He had 10 assists. Right. Like, the ball's moving better because of a lot of the stuff that's going around. And look, this is what I would say, too. Like, who – and I, again, understand, I'm not telling you that Zach LaVine is Damian Lillard. But in Damian Lillard's first 3 or 4 years in the league, did everyone think that he was going to be the player he was by year 6, 7, or 8?
No, Jimmy's another good example of that.
So, I mean, again, I don't know.
People always wanted to put a ceiling on Jimmy, and then he took a team to the finals.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying he's Jimmy either. But I'm just saying, what is there a need to even label him one way or another right now? What's the point?
No, I think it's good. I think it's a good point.
Is he a one? Is he a two? Is he a three? Is he the third best player on a championship team? Why do you need to know that today? Because where the Bulls are today with a new coach and developing, and where they don't have that guy right now, you're not looking to trade him. You're not looking to sign him. So what's the point of even like, everyone wants to label him, and my question is why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why the rush to label? In 2017-18, in his first year with the Bulls, he shot only 5 3-pointers a game, and he shot only 34% from three. Right now, he's nearly doubling that with 9 3-pointers per game, and he's averaging 39% from three. So he's gotten better taking threes and making threes. So again, Chris, and I know, I'm sure you have an opinion too. My question is, if you want to argue he's never going to be a one, I'm cool with that. But I'm just wanting to know, why are we having that argument now where the Bulls currently are?
Yeah, I think that's fair to ask. I mean, you know, you look at his contract and it's a bargain at the moment, but NBA players don't wait until their contract runs out before they need that next contract. And I would guess if Zach LaVine averages 27 points per game this season, he's going to want a max deal.
Right.
And you're going to start to hear, you know, leaks that he wants a max deal from the Bulls. So like, not to avoid your question, but are you willing to pay a max contract to Zach LaVine?
And I'm not sure yet. My answer to you is I don't know. I don't know.
And so, like, to go with all of this, when the season started, I told you guys this, that, like, the one thing I'm looking from LaVine is to win, to be a winning player. And Sylvia, you talked about it just a couple moments ago. And I would argue that at the moment, even though his stats are more impressive and to a certain extent the team does look better, I will not disagree with those two things. It's not like they're winning. You know, and here's the one key. The moment they do start to win with Zach LaVine playing the way he is right now, you're going to start to hear his name in MVP conversations, because look at the top players for points per game right now. Zach is, what, fifth in the league,
yeah,
averaging 27 a night? If they could somehow get over the hump of 500, be a you know, fifth, sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, why wouldn't he be in that conversation that Waddle mentioned, Damian Lillard getting MVP consideration? Right? Like,
he was 11th in the league in scoring last year. There were only 10 guys in the league that scored more than he did last year.
So I think it's all encompassing. Like, is he a star? Yeah, I mean, he's a star. Is he a number one?
He's not a superstar.
I don't know if he's a number one. And like, you know what would answer that question? If Sylvia, if he plays like this, takes his team to the playoffs and gets them above 500, then I think we could start having that real conversation of him being a superstar.
And that's my point. Like, I want to see that play out. For now, he still's only been coached by a professional coach for, what, 15 games? How many games have they played this year? What did I just say? They're 6-8?
So 14.
So 14
games.
Hold
on. Are you calling Tom Thibodeau not a professional coach?
Well, that's his first three years.
Okay.
How long did he have Tibbs for?
He was there with Thibodeau in Minnesota before he was traded.
Yeah,
Did he have 1 year with Tibbs? I think because wasn't
with Flip. Was he with Flip?
You know, Tibbs went over there and traded for Jimmy pretty quickly, didn't he? Maybe he had 1 year with Tibbs. I don't think it was long.
Zach's first year in the league with Minnesota was 2014-2015. So
then double check when Tibbs went over there.
Sam Mitchell was there in 16. He was there in – Flip was there in 15. Sam Mitchell, 16. Thibodeau, 17.
Yeah, so I think he only had Tibbs. Did he even have Tibbs for a year? Or did Tibbs inherit him and trade him right away? So my point is, recently with the Bulls, that Fred Hoiberg and Jim Boylan weren't going to develop him. Okay, they're not going to give him hard coaching. Billy Donovan's going to give him hard coaching. What I want to see from Zach before I label him with anything is, Chris, you brought up winning. I want to see how Markkanen plays alongside of him. I want to see if Markkanen grows. Is Kobe White, what Waddle wants to know, a point guard? Is he a combo guard? Do they have a guy who could handle the ball without turn? The one struggle the Bulls have had, which has been, and again, they're young and they're developing, is they turn the ball over a ton. And part of the reason is both Kobe and Zach turn the ball over a lot.
And their defense isn't great. I mean, they give up 120 points per game, which puts them in the bottom five in the league.
Exactly.
You're being nice by saying it's not great. It's one of the worst.
It's one of the worst, and their turnovers are very high. Those are their two weak links right now. So then, you know, believe it or not, that me, who people label, Sylvie, you're never happy, Sylvie, you're never happy, I am in true wait-and-see mode with this whole Bulls team. I am taking this time to enjoy them and to see who blossoms. And then I'm going to sort of fit them into boxes and decide their futures after I see the bigger sample size and what they could become. It's been fun. It's been fun not having to hate them like I hated them with Boylan. You know what I mean? Cheering for their success, not just rooting for, hey, they're on their way to a better draft pick this year. Having more likable players with a likable coach who are actually getting better.
The games matter. When you see a game on the schedule, you say, okay, what can I take away from this? In the previous years, there was nothing to take away.
And then after that loss, that last loss sucked. Friday night sucked. That was in it. No matter if you're young or old, you can't blow a 10-point lead with under 2 minutes left.
Isn't that the sign of a younger team that is immature and doesn't know how to win?
Right, but it was like a once-in-a-generation loss. Like, right. The lead they blew was a once-in-a-generation loss. The point of me bringing that up is, usually I would hate the Boylan team after they did that. The next two wins, they had a big lead the entire game in both of those games, and they protected it, and they won. And
got
they did it against Dallas.
Against Houston, but they ended up getting
a win. Well, Doncic played against in Dallas.
Yeah.
That's worth something.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not calling them this playoff team. I'm not telling you that everyone's an answer here. I'm just telling you, for the first time in the last 5 years, I could sit in front of my TV and not curse them.
You're going to get a professional effort.
Have you guys noticed in the Eastern Conference, too, there's five teams with six wins. So, like, the Bulls are tied with the Hornets, the Magic, the Hawks, the Cavs. They're all in that same grouping with six wins. And the Knicks are the sixth seed with seven wins.
Yeah.
So it's like, why can't they beat out those teams?
They can.
The only team you could maybe argue that should be better than what I listed off were Orlando, because they made the playoffs last year. They have some vets. Outside of that, it's all young teams trying to figure it out this season.
Don't forget the Heat and the Raptors right now are off to slow starts. You would expect them to get better. So to jump up, but again, it's they're meaningful, they're interesting, and I'm in total wait. What is Zach? Hell if I know. I'm not ready for that argument right now. That's the point of this. When he does want more money, then we can talk. When there is a trade for a star, then we can talk. But I think until then, let's see what they are, and let's measure them afterwards. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6 if you want to weigh in on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's a big basketball town, Waddle. We've always known that in the years that we've been on, that we've enjoyed watching the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
And we've always had a huge Bulls fan following. And it's good that we could talk about them again. I mean, there wasn't much to talk about with them.
You know how I felt about that team. I used to love to go home and sit on the couch and watch Bulls basketball, even when they weren't great. I lost the desire to do that in recent years. It's bad.
Yes. Yep. Matt in St. Charles wants to weigh in on our Zach LaVine discussion. Matt, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys, this is why I wanted to call in, because first of all, you have the best basketball radio show. Sylvie, you are just dead on when it comes to the Bulls.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm so Zach LaVine is the most underrated player in the NBA right now by far. He's a team player. He's starting to play defense. He's starting to see the light. There's not a trade out there that we want to do to get rid of Zach LaVine. The problem with this team is, well, first of all, once Lowry starts playing better, we're going to be very good. The problem with this team is Wendell Carter. We need somebody better down low. Everybody likes Wendell. I like Wendell. We need a guy like Andre Drummond, who's a free agent at the end of this year. Go get a guy like that, somebody that can play the middle like that. So there's a lot of hope for this team, but you're right. It's fun watching them. I'm bummed that I have to wait till Friday to watch when this past 5 years it's been garbage, but now there's a glimmer of hope, and Bulls fans should be excited.
Thanks, Matt. You've wondered for a while, Waddle, about Wendell. Like,
listen,
is he just a guy?
I think he plays. I mean, he plays solid defense. He's a decent rebounder. I think he's a guy with hustle that will get points. He'll give you some putbacks. I don't know how far out he can go and be a threat to score. I know they've given him the authority to and the free reign to shoot the ball from, way out. I think he's limited offensively. Others may feel differently. You may think that there is some upside there. I just don't know how much upside there is offensively with him.
Andy in New Lenox, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andy?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good.
So I think that Zach LaVine, this is probably like my least favorite narrative in all of sports, is that an NBA player who's on a quote unquote bad team is not as good as, he leads people to believe. And I think that's just, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, you look at Zach LaVine and this guy can do basically everything on the basketball court that you need him to do. He struggles on defense, true, But again, he's a great player. You take a look at all the other like very good teams in the league, and you look at their number twos, and you look at their number threes, and Zach LaVine's better than a lot of those guys. I truly think that Zach LaVine's better player than DJ McCollum in Portland, and I know some people won't think that, but I think he's a better player than CJ McCollum. You look at Tobias Harris, who is a guy I'm pretty sure on a max deal as well, and he's in Philly. I think Zach LaVine's a better player than Tobias Harris. So would I say he's a one? I think that he can be. I just hate this narrative, and that's the reason why we're having this conversation is people don't believe he's as good as he is just because he's on the Bulls, and I hate that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I would say this. McCollum has proven to be a better long-range shooter at this point. Zach's improving. Zach's much more athletic than McCollum. I don't think McCollum has the same turnover issues. He's an older player. But, like, look, I've always been a Zach LaVine fan. I would never sell him as a superstar. But I'm with you. I think he's young. He's improving. He's getting better coaching at this point. I just wouldn't be... I wouldn't be too quick to suggest all that he does is just empty calorie scoring. Because it's hard. Like I told you last year, and it was an abbreviated season, there were only 10 guys in the league that averaged more points per game than he did.
Yeah.
He's third or fourth in the league now. So, I mean, everyone gets, in this league, everyone can score. Not really. I mean, of the top 11 scorers in the league last year, I believe he was second of that group in terms of three-point percentage. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot good that you can identify with him.
Sure.
Is he going to defend
you don't
some
need
of the
to
top
subtract.
Scores? No.
And that's my point. You don't need to start thinking about trade him because you don't need to subtract from this team. They need to add. Maybe he can help you recruit. Maybe he can help. Maybe he would make this more of a desirable destination. That's why I'm not having the argument, is he a one, is he a two, is he a three? I want the Bulls to get better. These other guys, too, that C-Red Fred has called in about, The soonest call that you could get something good for Otto Porter, get rid of him and trade him. I don't care how much he helps the younger guys. Thaddeus Young, if someone's offering you something for Thaddeus Young, trade him. Those role guys, I could take him or leave him. But if you get a good offer, turn those into assets. Let's see where the young guys
develop. Porter just makes so much damn money. I mean, he's a solid player, but he can't stay healthy and he costs too much.
And maybe a good team would want him as a role guy for that half year at the deadline. Ike on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've been yelling at everybody that I know about Zach LaVine when we got him. I'm still angry at Doug McDermott because we traded two picks to get him, and we could have grabbed Zach LaVine straight up when he came out of UCLA. We keep saying what he's not, that he's not a superstar and he's not this or that, but like you said, only 10 guys in the league scored more points than him.
Mm-hmm.
And you may say he's not a number one, but he's the best option on the Bulls. CJ McCullough, he's getting secondary attention because they got to worry about Dame Lillard. They got to worry about Dame. So he's getting that second, that Scottie Pippen, Joe Dumars attention. You know what I mean? It's like we got to worry about the primary scoring option. So, yeah, he's going to be great when there's another a primary scoring option. Zach doesn't have that. Zach is more athletic. Zach is bigger. And Zach is just more explosive. And he has that type of athleticism and those type of gifts that he has superstar potential. I'll say that.
Okay.
I think the problem with the Bulls and the Boylan years and the Hoiberg years is that they were trying to make him something else. They were trying to make him a facilitator. They were trying to make him get other guys going when the reality is the way that he gets guys going is by getting going himself. And now he's garnering the attention of the entire defense, and now Lowry can miss those open shots that he's getting for him. You know, Wendell Carter could be whatever he is. I'm not even sure. He's like a 6'7" power center. They just need to, go ahead and send him out to pasture.
Ike, thanks. I appreciate it. And I don't want to overrate one moment that I saw on TV. There was a game or two ago. It was either Dallas or this last game, what they won. Where there was a timeout on the floor, Zach was walking to the bench, and Billy Donovan met him out a little further onto the floor and was pointing here, pointing there. Zach was looking right at him and then motioning with his hands there, and then he looked at him and he nodded and he went to the bench. that would have been greeted last year with an eye roll. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if Boylan would have said something to him, he would have rolled his eyes and walked away. But, like, they're engaged. They're listening. They're being coached by a professional right now. Sherrod in Cicero, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sherrod?
Hey, y'all got to me real quick. Just touch on what the brother said before about Zach. Like, you got to understand, like, this brother came out UCLA extremely young. And he has been here as a point guard, shooting guard. He blew out his knee, come back. He had piss poor coaching. And everything he's learned and everything he's done, been on the fly until he got hold of Billy Donovan. And he's still giving you 22, 23, 24, 25 points a game, not 27 points a game. And this kid is looked at like, hey, but he ain't tapping because they ain't winning. You got to be mindful. Everybody was hurt as well. That whole team was hurt. Everybody was hurt. He's had people hurt around him all over. So it's hard to win like that. And he's been doing what he's doing in spite of having his thing in his way. He's been doing it in spite of. So I'm like, yo, I'm looking at him. I'm like, I don't know what we're looking for. We had Jimmy Butler, but he wasn't a star. So we got rid of him. And now we're still looking for the next Jimmy. Now we got him. And we're like, I don't know what we're looking for.
Exactly.
So it's like, yo, what are we doing, man? This is not what this is about. Like you said, Sylvie, we add to. We don't take away from. You don't just find 27 points a game. Don't just find 6 assists and 6 rebounds. You don't just find a 6'6" explosive can jump through the gym athlete.
Yeah.
And the brother said before, he is our number one. Teams key in, and if the Bulls are such a bad team, he's still getting them 30s. He's still getting them 35s. He's still getting them 38. Because this kid is talented.
Yeah.
This kid,
7 games over 30. Yeah. Sherrod, thank you. Good caller, Sherrod. We were, our rhythm at the end there was a little screwed up. We were dancing. Speaking of that, we need a contestant right now for my wife or radio partner.
Let's dance.
312-332-3776. What caller would you like to play, Waddle?
Let's go number 50 for Mike Singletary.
Mike's possibly your next DC. Waddle's going to love that. We'll play My Wife or Radio Partner next.
This hour brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs and for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring, the card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It's now time for My Wife or My Radio Partner.
That's my wife. Now, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
My Wife.
Does this make me look fat? Did you take out the trash?
Or My Radio Partner.
I look at myself in the mirror and I can't stand what I'm seeing.
It's a little cool today, isn't it? It's a little cool today for golf, isn't it?
My Wife or My Radio Partner.
With Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right. It's My Wife or Radio Partner every Wednesday at about this time. It's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Swift & Sons American Steakhouse. Yes. In the West Loop in the Fulton Market District, the Restaurateurs of the Year, Rob Katz and Kevin Bayman, their executive chef, Chris Pandell, Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist. A couple of updates on that, Waddle.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
I'm looking at right now. I mentioned this last week. I gave you the term yurt. It's also, they're calling it a chalet. They want you to dine and make it feel like you're in the Swiss Alps, or as they're calling it,
the chalet.
The chalet. They're calling it the Swift Alps. You get it with Swift and Sons?
Yeah, that's awesome.
You should see the way they designed this thing.
I'm sure.
They're like heated tents outside so you can eat and enjoy the best food in the city. So check them out today at Swift & Sons.
You could even, you know what you could do probably just to create even better ambiance? Bring your skis and just prop them up. Prop them up next to the chalet.
So can you cross-country ski to them when you get some snow here in Chicago?
Or at the very least, leave your skis in the car and bring your boots. Take your ski boots off and just put them off to the side. Just pretend. Right. Play make-believe.
When you walk in there with your boots and they go, why are you wearing ski boots? You tell them that Tom Waddle sent you in your ski boots.
Yeah.
Check them out at Swift.
I don't ski, but I don't think you want to walk a long distance in ski boots because don't they like press your legs forward a little bit?
Yeah, they're uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't ski. I don't ski.
Don in Arlington Heights is our contestant today. Hey, Don.
What's going on, fellas?
Johnny, do you know how to play this game, Don?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I'll tell you. I'm going to read you three statements. You have to guess whether or not my wife made the statement or my radio partner made the statement. You have to be correct 2 out of 3 times. And if you are correct 2 out of 3 times, you will win that gift card to Swift & Sons. If my wife made the statement, Don, this is what you're going to hear. And if my radio partner made the statement, this is what you're going to hear. If I were a boy. Got to change the music. Just have to.
No, it's all right. The Imperial March is one of the most played songs in my house these days with my son loving Darth Vader.
Does he like the song or does he play it for a purpose? Or
well, because he just he hums it all day
does
long.
He really?
When he makes Legos and makes the X-Wing fighter and he talks about Darth Sidious and he talks about all these people I've never heard of before. It's crazy.
Are these
Emperor Palpatine?
Like, are they like directed at the kids' age or for older?
So they have online Lego versions of Star Wars where they make it funny and they explain the story, and that's what he watches so he doesn't get scared of it.
All right.
He's only six.
All right. All right, Don, here we go. You ready?
Yep.
Statement number one. Will you take that thing out already? Will you take that thing out already?
That's got to be Sylvie.
Is that the garbage?
What no, was it, the it was garbage? The dog. The dog. Oh. Like, the dog is always barking. Like, I love that dog. But, like, especially at dinner time, and she can bark loud. My wife just looked at me and said, will you take that thing out already?
So is it and basically
then
your dog?
So I got up. I was getting the leash to take the dog out, and I looked at her, and I said, that's what she said. but no, man, the dog likes my wife more than she likes me, but I'm
oh, really?
The one that takes the dog out for walks and stuff.
Okay, because I was wondering who, like, you know, I know it's everyone's dog, but who does a dog go
the
to?
Dog,
so
the dog, see, dogs, I think most all dogs identify as puppies. They identify one person that they align themselves with, and that person was my wife, Kara. But I'm the one that has to do all the dirty work.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, Don, pick it up. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Statement number two. Are you really encouraging the kid to poop on the floor? Are you really encouraging the kid to poop on the floor?
That was Sylvie.
Yeah, it was.
It was on the air yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I was thankful they were not in the car when you were having
Oh, they weren't.
The...
Okay, good.
No, so that was good.
I mean, the story was that you were telling Mason that if he left anything on the ground anymore, that you were going to pick it up and not give it back to him.
Right.
As like, you were encouraging
clean up
him
your
to
mess,
clean up
I'm
the room.
Take it away. Right.
And I told him if he wants to make a boss move to get back at you, just take a poop on the floor and say, Dad, you want to pick everything up? Pick that up. That would have been
a
right there is a walk-off. That's a walk-off move by a six-year-old. I hope he's in the car right now. All right, Don. Here we go. For all the marbles in Marble Land, as they say. Any chance Tom Brady plays with Drew Brees' kids if he loses that game? Any chance Tom Brady plays with Drew Brees' kids if he loses that game?
Gotta go with Kara.
Yes! Good call, Don! That's what my wife said. I showed her the tweet of that. I saw it on video. I saw it via tweet.
She's right. And she's right, too, by inferring
that. Any chance Tom Brady would actually play with Drew Brees' kids if he lost that game? What do you think?
He's on the bus crying on Gronk's shoulder. Right? He's on the bus.
So. Well done, Don.
Thanks, boys.
Come back. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, enjoy it, Don. You're going to love Swift & Sons.
Bring your ski boots.
Will do.
All right.
Kevin Payton's going to say, why are all these people coming over to the restaurant in ski boots?
You want the ambiance of a ski lodge, don't you?
Yeah. The Swift Alps.
The Swift Alps.
I love it. Those guys are awesome. All right. Coming up next, Michael Wilbon joins the show. What would he say if he was Ryan Pace calling the Houston Texans? Would he be in favor of that? That's coming up in 2 short minutes.